those of you who are here for the first time this morning or haven't been here over the last few weeks, we are in week four of a four-part mini-series that we've been starting our new school year, ministry year with. And it's a mini-series in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, in particular asking questions about what is wisdom and looking specifically at the book of Proverbs. And each Sunday, we've taken one chapter. So we start at chapter one, then chapter two, chapter three. So guess which one we're in today? Proverbs chapter 4 is our topic today. But first, because it's the final in a series, and there's a little bit of teacher in me, though I've never done that professionally, there is a pop quiz today. So here's the questions, all right, for those of you who were here over the last few weeks. We began with chapter 1. And in chapter 1, we really only looked at the prologue of that chapter. But here's the question from chapter 1. What is it that is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, understanding? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In another place in chapter 9 is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. These seem to be almost interchangeable terms in Proverbs. But where does it all start? Paying attention to the one who gave us the gift of life, right? So the idea is that how in the world can we live wisely? How in the world can we figure out human life and how it works without paying attention to the one who gave us the gift, this good gift of life? And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we notice that it is about attentiveness to Him, humbling ourselves, receiving this gift of life. But it's also about worship. And we went to Hebrews 12, where we saw the writer of Hebrews say, in a New Testament context, how to fear the Lord. Let us worship Him acceptably. How? With reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, right? So we recognize that He is the creator of everything that exists. We are welcomed into His presence because of what Jesus did for us. But let's never take it for granted. Let's never take it lightly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Chapter 2 we saw was one long conditional sentence, a beautiful poem actually in the Hebrew language, and it's a conditional sentence. And so this sentence of that is chapter 2 has two key words in the conditional sentence. What are the key words really of any conditional sentence? First word is if, second word is then, if then, right? So what is the father saying to his son in chapter 2? He's saying to him, if you really seek for wisdom, if you look for it, if you value it above everything else, and we talked about how it's the Lord who gives wisdom, so it's really seeking the Lord who gives wisdom. If you do that with all of your heart, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. It's a remarkable if then statement. Then you will understand the knowledge of God. It's an incredible statement. Chapter 2 also gives us a sense of hope and courage in the moral choices that we make in our lives, right? Because we live in this broken world, and sometimes we make bad moral choices and we get caught in bad habits of living, and we get caught into habits that are hard to break. And so what is father saying to son? He's saying wisdom will save you from these moral pitfalls, from the ways of wicked men, from the ways of the adulterous woman. And so we've got all these temptations in our world that want to drag us away from the life that God gave us. But father is saying to son, if you seek for it, value it above everything else, then it will save you from these bad moral choices that you make. Chapter 3, last week we saw that it was another Hebrew poem, not so highly structured, a different kind of poem. Really what the father seems to be doing in chapter 3 is saying, do not do this, do not do that. We saw he was establishing the perimeters. In these perimeters is the fullness of life that God wants to give you. Inside the perimeters is the fullness of wisdom, if you seek for this with all your heart. And so the question from last week is, who should we not trust? Ourselves, right? So we saw the key verse there was, lean not on your own understanding, Right? Don't figure this out at home, right? Don't lean on your own understanding, but instead do what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in this God who gave us life with all of our heart, right? The heart being the center of who we are. Today, we have a twofold purpose, actually. We are going to look at chapter 4, and it's my desire that we can really hear the words of father to son, and even grandfather to son, also in chapter 4. But I also want to connect these words, which are so much about our hearts, the center of our beings, to some words that we put together several years ago now to describe what is it that's at the heart of International Church of Bishkek. Who are we? Why do we exist here? And we came up with a statement of purpose, which we still are holding on to. We don't put it up probably as often as we should, but for some of you this might be new, others it will be old. But here's the way in which we chose to describe ourselves. Let me give a little bit of background. Just back up just a bit of background to this phrase. I came in December of 2012, and since then I've had the privilege, really, of working with this community as we've worked through many different books of the Bible. We started in Isaiah and Acts, and we did Peter, Psalms, Ephesians, Jonah, Micah, Malachi, John, Revelation, Genesis. We've been through almost every section of Scripture. And here's the thing, as I began to work with some others in leadership here and just say, what is it that God really wants from us? As I look at every part of Scripture, there's a word which keeps coming up. And that word is heart. Because if you ask the question through the story of Scripture from beginning to end, what is it that God wants from us most? Really, if we start from the beginning and go to the end, what God wants is our hearts. He's not asking for a particular religious ways of living. What He wants is our hearts. And what's another word we could use for heart? It's really our love, right? Is the heart is really the place, the center of us, that really determines what we love the most. We would call that our heart. It's the center of our personhood. What's the thing that we love the most? And so that led us to really try to define who we are, and we came up with this first part of the phrase, which says, who are we, International Church? We are culturally diverse. We come from many, many different cultures. We're transient. How many of you were here in 2012? There's a good number, but less than 50%, let's say. We're transient, right? People come and go. We are multinational, right? Represent different nations from all over the world. We're a community living in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. And I want to emphasize this word community because really our desire for International Church is that we would be a community of people. We do not want to be an event-based organization, right? Sunday morning is our main time to come together and to worship God with enthusiasm and to hear His Word. It's an important time together. But really, the church is much broader, much bigger, much more involved than that. The church is relationships, follower of Jesus with follower of Jesus. We really want to be a community of people who are living in Bishkek together. But what's our purpose in coming together? And here's the second part of the phrase, seeking together to discover what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. I've had some English specialists come and say, you know, we could say that in fewer words than that. But actually, what I like is all of the words there, so I'm not prepared to give any up, okay? Seeking together. So the emphasis here is that learning is not a one-way street. We're seeking together to discover. So while I do take responsibility seriously and the privilege that I have to study the Word and to bring it on Sunday mornings, and also Marcus does it and other people, but we take this teaching seriously, but learning really is a two-way street. We learn in community together. We need relationships where we're in the Word together. So we're seeking together so that I learn from you, even as you learn from me. We're seeking to do what? To discover. And this word discover helps me to remember that becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus is not a destination that we arrive at, right? In increasing ways, we're seeking to discover what it looks like to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. It's not something that, as long as we're on this earth at least, as long as before Jesus comes back, that we will arrive at the destination. We were reminding ourselves a couple of weeks ago that we are all perpetually in need of wisdom, right? Remember, we were talking about those if-only moments from last week. If only I'd thought before I said that. You know, if only I'd done this instead of that. And we look back at our lives and we realize that we're always in need of wisdom. And really, we'll never arrive. But we should be always looking for more wisdom. It's the same with being a wholehearted follower of Jesus. It's this pathway that we're on together. We're seeking to discover what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. And the emphasis that we're going to find in chapter 4 of Proverbs, I believe, and that we see in many parts of Scripture, how do we do that? It's not by strong willpower, right? It's not by pushing hard against bad habits, but it's really about our hearts. It's really about who we love the most and trying to reorient our loves in our lives. That's really what we're helping each other to do as we're seeking to become wholehearted followers of Jesus together. So let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and the key verse that I want to pull out of it for us today is this verse 23, which says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, what's above all else? There's actually nothing above all else, because it's up there, right? It's the top. So above everything. And this is the language of Proverbs. It's giving this language of what's at the top. He says, above all else, guard, protect your heart. Why? Because everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. And the word there has to do with this idea of being a spring or a source of water. It's surge. All of life surges from our hearts. This picture was not taken in the mountains around Bishkek, but it could have been. Maybe you have gone up and taken water from the springs that come out of the side of the mountain there. It's clean water. It's good water. And it's that water, my friends. This is the source of the water that flows down the mountainsides and brings life to the city of Bishkek, right? It gives us the green trees and the water that's running through the canals and the ditches in the summertime especially. But that's the source, right? That's where it comes from. And all of this life comes into Bishkek from up there. In the same way, his father says to son, grandfather says to grandson, guard your heart. Be careful what you love, because everything of life flows out of what you love. Right? So let's hear and see what these grandfather and father are saying to the son and grandson. We're listening in. We really have the opportunity to listen in on what I would call multi-generational wisdom tonight, this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, I won't read the whole chapter at one time, but I do want to read it in sections. I want to begin with the introduction, verses 1 through 4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me, and he said to me, right? So here's the introduction. This is the father saying to his son, my dad said to me when I was little. Anybody remember those times when your dad said something to you when you were little? Right? This is wisdom coming from grandfather, and is being told now by the son. Just a word as you hear and pay attention to these words. If you were here over the last couple of weeks, you're going to hear a lot of repeated language, right? And I believe it's repeated for emphasis. The preacher wants us to not miss out on this idea of prioritizing wisdom. So we begin in verse 4. Grandfather's wisdom says this: take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forsake my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all that you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Let me put all of those words from Granddad together on one screen. Hopefully you can still read them. But what do you notice about Grandfather's advice? What is he really most passionate about? Well, it's a similar phrase, isn't it? Get wisdom. Get this wisdom that comes from God, because this is how life works. Love her, she will watch over her. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, she will honor you. Throughout Proverbs, and I think throughout other parts of wisdom literature, wisdom is often portrayed as a woman. So, Lady Wisdom. Wisdom, it says here, wisdom will make you look good. That's pretty good, isn't it? We noticed that last week a little bit when we saw wisdom will help you grow in favor with God and man. And we were noticing Jesus. When Jesus was young, the phrase about Jesus said he grew in favor with God and man. He grew in wisdom, which is a remarkable, mind-blowing phrase about Jesus when we think about it. But here's the thing about wisdom. If we choose to live as the giver of life, design life to really be lived, then we will be known as good people, right? We will be trustworthy people. We will be people of integrity. We will be people who are living in God's way in this broken world. And people will be able to trust us. So that's not the same as everybody liking us, right? Not everybody like Jesus. And Jesus said, not everybody likes me, not everybody's going to like you. But it is about wisdom to know how to live well in this world. We turn to the one who is the giver of life. What is wisdom? One of the definitions that we've considered in our series is that the art of skillful living, the art of living human life well. And how do we do that? By turning to God, who is the giver of life, learning from him. Well, let's turn to hear Father's wisdom. Now the Father has quoted his Father. Now he says to his Son, starting in verse 10, listen, my Son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you stumble, your steps won't be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked. And here we come to this idea of moral choices in life. He says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your own way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So once again, let's put more of these words on one screen just to see the emphasis. What is really the emphasis here? I think the Father is saying to the Son, be careful in your choices. Remember, we were talking a couple of weeks ago how I suggest that in some ways, life can be compared to the game of snakes and ladders, which is a game of chance. You know, if you throw the dice, you land on a dice, you either go down the snake or up the ladder. We clarified and said, life is not a game of chance, but we do have choices. God in his wisdom have given us choices, right? So we could, as we walk along the steps of life, we can choose foolishly or we can choose wisely. And the Father is saying to the Son, be careful of those foolish moral choices because they will get you into trouble, right? And so he's urging the Son to choose wisdom. Let's read part two of his wisdom in verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your hearts, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Let's put those words on the screen and do one more click. There's some words in red here. Yeah, there's some words in red here. What's the commonality between these words in red? They refer to different parts of our body, right? So what's the Father saying to the Son? Here's what I believe He's saying. It's about our bodies. We need to be careful to guard our whole bodies. Everything really flows from our hearts, from what we love, but it affects every part of our bodies. I want to remind us that as followers of Jesus, we are gloriously set free from sin because of what Jesus did, right? So we receive righteousness as a gift. We are declared righteousness in God's eyes because of what Jesus did, right? There's nothing we can do to earn it. But the reality is, in this world in which we live, we continue to live in bodies which are broken, and in a world that is broken. And sometimes in this broken world, there are temptations that come after our bodies and draw us away from living wisely, from living the way of God, right? And so it seems like what the Father is saying to the Son, be careful to guard your heart. Because if you know what you love the most, then that will protect you in the decisions and how your body functions from day to day to day, and whether you choose wisely or choose foolishly. And so, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. Let's ask the question, how can we guard our hearts? And here I would like to be as practical as we can. Being wholehearted followers of Jesus, as I said, it's not something we just attain, but it's a journey of discovery. And it's a journey of repentance and surrender, always coming back and saying, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me, help me to live more fully in your ways. It seems to me one of the things that we all need to do with a great deal of honesty is to check our hearts. We need to check our hearts. How do we guard our hearts? Well, one thing is by checking. So here's the way we check our hearts. We can ask, what are the danger areas in this world for my heart? Each of us have different danger areas, ways in which the evil one and the world around us would want to drag us away from living God's life and to live life selfishly. So whether that's money, whether that's power, whether that's even our job. Anything, even if it's good. You know, we may have a very good job, we love our job. But if we love that more than we love God, it's upside down. Right? This is what the Father is saying to us. Don't love anything more than God, even if it's a very good thing. And I want to say to us, I am involved as a Christian minister, and so we call our work ministry. And I want to say to us, even sometimes our ministry can take the wrong place in our priorities, right? If our ministry becomes more important than loving God, that's also upside down, right? It seems like that's what guarding our hearts has to do with, making sure that we're loving God more than anything. The sexual temptations of our world are very many, very plentiful, and very difficult. And we need to pay attention. The gift of sex to human life is a beautiful gift. It's beautiful and it's powerful. It's also very dangerous, yeah? So if we take sex outside of its God-given arena, its God-given place in the covenant relationship of marriage, I believe that we degrade it. We degrade humanity. And there's so many temptations in our world that drag us away. Sexual thoughts, sexual practice that is outside of God's plan. And we need to be so careful to not let that become too high of a priority in our loving. Who do we love more? What do we love more? Even family, I suggest, family is God's idea for the foundation of community life in this world, and it's a very beautiful thing. But even if we love family more than we love God, it's in the wrong sense of priority. So we all need to check our hearts and ask, what are the danger points for me personally? And then we realize, how do we get out of a trap if we fall into one of these traps? It's really not about willpower and pushing against evil so much. I want to suggest it's about reorienting our loves. Reorienting our loves so that we're paying attention to what it really is that we love the most. I used this picture also last year. This may be a test to see if you can remember a sermon from a year ago. Maybe I can. But what's the characteristic of a satellite dish? It's directional, right? So you can choose what you're tuning into. I want to suggest that our hearts are also directional. We can choose what we tune into in this world. And I think, how do we reorient our loves? Well, we need to reorient our loves by what we choose to listen to, what we choose to read, what we choose to watch, what we choose to spend our time doing. So, if I say I'm a follower of Jesus, but I never pick up this book, this gift of the Word in our hands, and never ever spend time really coming to know Jesus in this book, am I really loving Jesus? We reorient our loves. We pay attention to how we're feeding our minds and our hearts, so that increasingly we encourage each other to love Jesus more. And I want to really emphasize that this really is something we do together. This is not something we just do on our own. In fact, God never imagined human life to be alone. It's always in relationship. So let me ask this question: how can we be wholehearted followers of Jesus together? And for those of you, again, who haven't been around, perhaps you've not seen this picture, but this is a picture of our church. We call this the ICB tree. And let me just give a bit of an explanation here. So here's our tree, and we're going to populate the tree in a moment here. But for now, I want to pay attention to the fact that our tree and our desire certainly is that our church, our community, is rooted in Jesus. This is who we are. He is our foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the one on whom we build our community together, discovering together what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. But up here also, there's this beautiful verse from Revelation 22, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And it's my desire that as we become a community that's rooted in Jesus, that we become a place of healing. We become a place of healing for people in trouble. We become a place of healing for many nations who come and be a part of who we are. But let's talk about what's inside the tree. And this is how as we examined this a few years ago and just began to say, what are the different areas of ministry that are going on inside of ICB? This is how we broke it down. Seven areas, cluster areas of ministry. Outreach, which is reaching outside of our community. Music and worship. Education, anything around curriculum and teaching. Logistics, how do we function together when we come together. Kids and youth. Community life is everything about relationships together. And prayer, we want to be a people of prayer. So our desire really is to see people, every one of us who are here in this room, involved in some way in this kind of life in the body that is ICB, right? So we have myself and Marcus here as pastors. We also have part-time staff. Our director currently is Kanat. Our treasurer is Andre. Our administrator is Oksana, right? So together we are the church. We are a community together. And it's our desire that every one of us together would participate. So the life, I like this, the picture of this particular tree, because so many of the branches are interconnected, right? And this is what we want to be, is a community that is connected to each other. Let me give you a challenge as we close. From the very beginning of creation, God's design for human life is that we should live together in community with each other. One of the memorable phrases from Genesis chapter 2 is that it's not good that the man should be alone. And that, of course, is in the context of God bringing along Eve and establishing the family unit, husband, wife, children, as the core of human community. But we see it all throughout Scripture that God never intends human life as something we do by ourselves. God's desire for us is that we would be connected to each other in healthy and deep friendship. So here's my question for you, for each one of us. Who are you connected to? Who are you connected to in a way that's deep, in a way which you feel you can share the dark secrets of your life, a place that's safe, a place where you have community together, where you trust each other, you're looking at Jesus together, you're asking, how can we understand who Jesus is more? How can we love Jesus more? How can we love each other more? Who are you connected to? Because church is about relationships. And I want to say that if you are not meeting with someone regularly, one person, two persons, three, four, five, six, whatever it is, but a smaller group than our Sunday event, if you're not meeting with someone regularly and asking questions of each other, encouraging, challenging one another, then somehow we are not being the church that we should be. Right? So this is my challenge this morning. We all need spiritual friendships. So if all that you do is come on Sunday mornings and sit and attend and leave, that's not really doing church. That's just attending an event, right? Because we believe church really is about relationships. And I've had some people say to me recently that they've come to ICB and tried and found it difficult to connect, and they go away feeling lonely. And that makes me sad, because my desire is that if you come to ICB, that you will find someone to connect with. And I want to say to you, if you do come and that is your experience, I would love to talk to you. Martha, Marcus, Andrea, all of us, any of us, and many other people here would love to talk to you, because we believe that the church really is about these spiritual friendships where we encourage each other to become wholehearted followers of Jesus. So please do come and talk to us. If you feel like you don't have those relationships, you would like those relationships. We want to be a network of people who really love each other and really love Jesus. And we want that to be a priority as we move forward into this new ministry year. So that together is in the context of these relationships together, we may learn, discover together what it means to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. Lord, as we come to you, we just submit these words to you. We submit ourselves to you. And we say, Lord, would you please do your work in our church? Challenge my heart, challenge all of our hearts, and give us a strong sense of what it means to be your wholehearted followers. Help us to love you more. Help us to keep you at the top place of the order of our loves. Give us wisdom, Lord. We do need wisdom every day. And help us to help each other. Help us to come alongside. Help us to give each other courage. And help us to take initiative, to meet together, to pray together, to learn together. And may all of it be for the glory of the name of Jesus in this place. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so faithful, so loving, so forgiving, so caring. We turn to you. We offer ourselves to you as we move into this new ministry calendar year, this new school year. Lord, would you do your good work among us? Spirit of God, we invite you to be our Lord. We praise you and thank you. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen. Amen.